Hang on, I've muffed that one up.
We've got a new councillor.
You know who I'm talking about, Councillor Orr and Councillor Archer. I do certainly believe it should be within the council's remit to fund this, but also then agree with Councillor Dawson that we should go through the process of approving it as it is. From my understanding, the budget submissions have closed, so then for us to go, oh, it's too hard to deal with right now, we should put it elsewhere and deal with it later. We're not given the same opportunity to other people to put in an additional budget submission, so I'm happy just to not support the current motion, but for a number of reasons.
Thank you. All right, I'll have a... yeah, why not? Microphone, please.
The question is around one of the comments, and I'm not sure if I heard it correctly, from Councillor Barwick, where is it Councillor Barwick's understanding that this motion automatically enters the $2,000 as a budget line item? No. Because they're the words you used. Or is it, and as I understand it, it's a budget submission that will be decided upon in closed doors, behind closed doors, in our budget process?
Correct. That is exactly as it reads. I remind everyone, the motion is to not... where is it? Thank you. The Weymouth Pro Association requests $2,000 towards the purchase of a commercial dishwasher to be considered at the 24-25 budget process. All right.
Mr. Chairman, that's the word. You will consider it in the budget, won't you?
Okay, it's considered. It's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. All right, I will, if I may, I'd like to speak to the motion. So I have a slightly different take. I don't necessarily disagree with what's been said beforehand, although I empathise with Councillor Orr and Councillor Dawson's position. But to me, the final paragraph of the author of the report points that there's a low number of events and that a commercial dishwasher is, by their assessment, to be excessive to their requirements. And it sets an unrealistic expectation, unrealistic level of service for the other community service clubs we have of a similar size. And I think that therein, for my mind, lies the answer, which is, if we do this for one, you must do it for others, and you then must have due consideration of the number of events that are held by all of our respective community clubs at their respective venues in justifying whether or not it is commercially feasible, or whether the expectation that council provides a commercial machine of this capacity. And so I think that if that's the council officer's recommendation who've been involved and who have assessed this and looked at the fact, I'm going to take that on face value. I think it's not about anything other than to say we're happy to support our community, but sometimes part of that support is getting part of your volunteer community to roll up sleeves and do a little bit of dishwashing at the end of the day. If that's infrequent, then that's reasonable. If we do this, we then must be fair in applying that same measure to all of our community clubs. So I won't be supporting the motion. Thank you. Councillor Orr.
Question. So these community clubs you're talking about, are you talking about ones that have their own premises or the ones that use a council facility?
I think all that apply. All that apply, you'd need to do the same to. And once you open the door, you've opened the door. And you have to be impartial. Not a commercial one. Not a commercial dishwasher. Oh, there you go. See, here we start. Any other questions? Different level of commercial activity, wouldn't you agree? Are you debating me or are you debating the motion? Are you debating me or the motion? Okay, let's carry on. Councillor Archer, you are...
I think Councillor Orr just raised something, which I was actually thinking there too. Now, we've got three grants here, just outside of this direct motion, but two of which were grants for on their own premises. And this one here is for a grant for council premises, which obviously has identified extra costs that will be borne by council, likely. Let's say if somebody applied for a grant for, let's say, a piece of play equipment for Regent Square as a community group, would council treat that under this grant or this sponsorship program? How would that be treated?
That's a great question. Through the chair to the general manager to start off with.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you for the question, Councillor Archer. So this application is compliant, regardless of the fact that it's on a council asset or within a council asset. So officers are guided by the current policy that council has adopted, which is silent on community groups requesting funding through this avenue for infrastructure or equipment to go within buildings of council. So it would be treated the same regardless. The officer's recommendation and comments, I'll allow the director to speak to, but don't necessarily turn to the fact that it's a council asset as a reason to not support.
Do you want to say anything? Sure. You don't have to if you don't want to.
I think it's in the report.
I think it's in the report. All right, so no comment. Councillor Dawson.
I've already spoken, but Councillor Archer does make a good point. And I suppose I question my own support for my words previously. And when I look at Georgetown Council accepting to offer a grant in the previous way that it was set up, rather than going to grant, I mean, we're basically giving ourselves a grant to do work that we don't want to do, or refusing to give a grant to ourselves by offering $2,000 for work in our own building. So in that case, it should be internal. But if we've already made an officer's recommendation that it's not supported, then we're wasting everybody's time taking to a budget when we've already decided or already recommended that we're not going to do it. So, I mean, it's a no motion. We shouldn't support it either way.
All right. I'm ready to close this off if there's anyone else, but I'm going to hand it back to the mover, Councillor Orr.
So, Georgetown Council do a lot of work in the outer communities. They've just finished paying the whole hall at Weymouth. You know, so the halls and these facilities, even though the locals think it's their hall and facility, if they rate, I suppose it is theirs, but it is a council-owned asset. So when these applications come through, if it was an item that was just sitting on the bench or something they'd take away that they own, I do believe it's a community grant. It might be silent in the policy, but...
Carry on. You can come in.
Sorry.
You can come in.
Yeah.
Carry on. Carry on, Jess.
Yeah. So, I was betraying thought now. Anyway, so, like for example, that whole kitchen was done up mainly through grants applied from the Weymouth Progress Association. And at the time, I thought that was strange. You're getting these community groups are doing all this work for a council facility. So I think when we're doing any major work on our premises, it should automatically become a budget request. So it may look at this report and say, okay, we said no to a grant application. It doesn't mean we don't say yes to a budget request. So moving to a budget request, then we can look at it and say, okay, can we afford this? And Wayne the Four has already said they're happy to put some money towards it. So moving into a budget request, and also lines up with when we do these grant applications, people will understand, okay, that's a grant or that's a budget request. The aspect of being a late budget submission, we haven't even started work as councillors yet on the budget. And this was put in as a grant application some time ago, so I couldn't see why you couldn't allow for it in the budget submission. Also, we are going through the township character plans at the moment. We're looking at the growth of the region as well, so you could even align with the township character plans with the growth area. Does that hall facility actually do need a dishwasher in the future as well? So there's other options where why we might submit it as a budget request as part of that process as well. Thank you.
Certainly are. All right, our mover has closed. With that, we will put this one to a vote. All those in favour, and I remind you, you're voting on that the Weymouth Progress Association request for $2,000 towards the purchase of a commercial dishwasher be considered at the 2024-2025 budget process. With that, I'll put that to a vote. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Balk, we have Councillor Mason, we have Councillor Ashley, we have Councillor Archer, we have Councillor Harris, we have Councillor Orr. Against, we have Councillor Lowe, Councillor Dawson, Councillor Keyser. The motion is carried. So, against. Okay, so on the next one, I just want to point out there's just one little typo in there. It currently reads, awards financial assistance to the Bass and Flinders Bowls and Community Club to the amount of $2,000, replacement of old wooden seating around the bowls green. That is incorrect. It's replacement of the shade cloth to the seating around the bowls green. The sheeting is or the seating's already there. This is just for the shading. New shading.
Providing shade.
Providing shading. So let's say, so providing shading to around.
So if you write down, said planning decision previous financial year,
so there's an error.
Through you, Mayor, there's an error in the Council's recommendation. It should say to provide shade to the seating around the bowls green rather than replacement.
To provide shade to the seating around the bowls green. Okay. So just I'm going to read that back to everybody. So item two is awards financial assistance to the Bass and Flinders Bowls and Community Club to the amount of $2,000 to provide shade to the seating around the bowls green. All right, can I call for a mover? Our mover is Councillor Mason. Our seconder is Councillor Harris. Councillor Mason, take it away.
Thank you, Mayor. The Bass and Flinders Bowls Club and Community Club is a great organisation. And the average age of the members would be around about 60. So they need all the shade they can get.
Be polite.
And I think it's a worthwhile request and ask all councillors to support.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mason. Councillor Harris?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I think I feel a conservative I've been working at trying to establish the club for quite some time. We have knocked them back before on a stone, which was considered not a benefit on a commercial basis. But for this to go ahead with a bit of extra shade around what we've already done with the season makes it a whole lot better for the disciplines.
Thank you, Councillor Harris. With that, I'll open it to the floor. Speakers for or against, all questions? Councillor Orr.
So, bowls club, not just for the elderly. I know a lot of people do. Younger people also play bowls. They do barefoot bowling, so just make sure we know.
Not including yourself?
No, I don't actually play bowls. Just so we're not stereotyping people, that's all. And because he's a great club, and no doubt they probably would appreciate young people turning up to build their club up. My question is, the land where the bowls club is situated.
Yes.
Who owns it?
Catholic.
Southern Cross Care.
Southern Cross Care.
The whole lot?
Yep.
Yes, except for a parcel in the parking area. Some of it is council and some is parks.
Crown.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tell me about that. Anyone else? Let's just put that one straight to a vote. I don't think it needs a closing. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Aye. We're unanimous on that one. Carried. Can I call for a mover, please, for the Georgetown Baptist Church, $2,000 for the multi-purpose court. Mover is Councillor Archer, thank you. Seconded by Councillor Mason. Councillor Archer.
Thank you, Mayor. My children, once upon a time, were participated in after-school care at the church there when Gordon Square didn't have capacity for school-aged children. They provided an essential service in that, and I believe that this is somewhat to accommodate that and other uses. I think it's worthy. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mason.
No, I support those comments fully. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any speakers for or against? All questions? We'll put that one. Yes, Councillor Harris.
Thank you, Mayor. There has been some discussion on previous occasions about the fact that we might require an entrance to the YMCA through that block. Have we made any more moves to the fore for that, or has that been put aside?
So,
point of order, relevance.
I think the point of order is valid. We'll say that there's no formal framework for those, for any other discussions outside of this motion. So let's stick to the motion and we'll take it from there. All right. Councillor Orr.
Yeah, I'll speak for the motion. It's I know at Lowith we've got a little half-court basket hoop set up there, which the likes have done, pretty ad hoc, and it's very well used. So this being in the middle of Georgetown, hopefully they will open up to the whole community and be able to use it as well. Thank you.
Good. And I'll very quickly just say, wholly support Pastor Bob and the congregation and the good work that they do. Sometimes it would be helpful for the congregation to have an area where the younger cohorts can occupy themselves so as to create a constructive distraction. I'll just leave it at that. But yes, I absolutely support this. All right, let's just put that one to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. And we are you a yes? We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Barwick, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson. I think I mentioned Councillor Keyser, maybe yes or no. Against, Councillor Harris. Thank you. Motion is carried. Carried by 8-1. That concludes round 2 of our community assistance grants. Section 11, organisation performance strategy and engagement, there are nil. Section 12 is the mayor and matters of involvement in section 12.1 for the mayor, deputy mayor and four councillors. Can I call for a mover, please? Councillor Mason is our mover, seconded by Councillor Ashley. Councillor Mason.
Just to receive the report and open the floor to anyone that wants to ask questions.
Thank you. Councillor Ashley.
Yeah, I agree with what Councillor Mason said. Just open the floor for questions.
Thank you. With that, we'll open to the floor if there are any questions. A microphone, please, Councillor Barwick. Thank you.
Can you hear? I was reading it as I was saying. A report on the dates of the 12th where you attended the Sun Cable project update meeting?
Yes, so we do now have regularly scheduled updates across all of the various stakeholders, being West Tamar, Launceston and Georgetown, on the general update. This month's update was to say the community consultation has proceeded. There will be a slight change in the way that the community is being engaged based on feedback and some question marks that are raised by the community around some of the engagements so far. In essence, they want more regular, continuous updates on the progress. As you can imagine, this is a large, moving piece of work. The organization has already engaged in the majority of pre-reporting assessments, particularly EPA, etc., but there are still a number which are underway. And so far, everything is looking, for the most part, rather good. Councillor Mason, microphone, please.
Is it right they're actually going to proceed whether they build the solar panel farm in Darwin? The project will still proceed?
There are a number of different scenarios which Sun Cable as an entity are considering. So they are looking at every alternative. For the most part, the cable manufacturing facility looks like it is a viable proposition irrespective of whether or not they consume the first 4,300 kilometres of cable for their own usage or not. Again, early days, but that's initial indications. So, yes. Any other questions? Councillor Orr.
So, we just had a state election, and so you said you met here with Senator Lambie and the Bass candidate. Was that at the Georgetown Council Chambers at this office?
Yes.
And if so, any reason why Senator Lambie didn't want to meet up with the other councillors?
That's an extremely good question, one I can't really ask. But I can tell you about the meeting as such. It was constructive and respectful. It's always encouraging when anybody in the political spectrum, being federal, upper house or lower house of state, come into our community and want to understand what our priorities are and what we are trying to achieve on behalf of our community and how they can assist. So for the most part, we welcome that engagement on any level. And I'll broadly categorize this meeting as being very much to that tune. It was really fact-finding to forge a better understanding of how they can assist our constituents. And overall, I found both their candidate, Angela, and Rebecca, but Angela was the one who was in attendance, as well as Jackie, to be respectful, charming, and constructive. Hopefully that answered your question.
No.
I don't know if I've got an answer for you then. I don't know why. I can't
is
comment.
That, is that like a council?
Through the chair. Councillor Orr, the mayor, as he said, can't answer on behalf of the Jackie Lambie Party and who they've requested to meet with them or not. But I just wanted to add that it's not uncommon that political figures request to see the mayor first and foremost, and sometimes the general manager may get an invite, sometimes he doesn't, or she doesn't, depending on where you are. But that's not uncommon practice.
Yeah. Yes, Councillor Harris.
Yeah, the cloud farm that Bill
Yes. And I'm going to have a moment with names here. Tom and
Annie Gunn.
Tom and Annie Gunn. Wonderful, really good day. I want to thank Councillor Orr as well as Cheryl, who availed themselves of the opportunity to meet the operator and take a tour of the facilities. Wow, love it. Love it. It's early stages as an operator, but they've got a good couple of acres under cultivation, a broad variety, and I just want to give them a good plug for anybody who's looking for a Mother's Day, friend, birthday, mixed posy of various different flowers. Their variety is outstanding. Highly recommend them. And also they have some very good future plans, which I'm hoping you will receive a presentation on in the not too distant future, which will support our tourism endeavors. And it was a thoroughly good afternoon. So well done, Annie. Well done, Tom. Absolutely. No, you've got to celebrate when our community does something this bold. It's fantastic. Thank you. I'm happy to provide that advertising service. Seriously, if you need a plant of posies, get hold of them. They're really, really, really nice stuff. Anybody else?
Yeah, I did send a correction through on my date, 12th of March. It was just the Harewood Progress Association general meeting, not AGM.
Okay, got it.
Sorry, thanks.
Thank you. Any questions? Any others? I'll briefly volunteer. We did the ALGAT meeting. We recorded the votes for the various different motions that we circulated those. We have, I think we did, according to Council's wishes and strategy. ALGAT this time, for the first time ever in my term as mayor, they invited deputy mayors to join a mayor and deputy session, which I thought was refreshing.
The deputy mayors previously have our own meeting, and this time we decided that the mayors could join us.
Thank you for correcting that there, Deputy Mayor Dawson. Except to say that, you know, it's one of the perpetual challenges is how do you do the succession planning thing? It was interesting that ALGAT put up this graph where they talked about the learning framework and doing the job and all the rest. And by ALGAT's own admission, 90% of the learning is the stuff that you do while you're actually doing the job. The learning, the formal learning is a small component of it. So I would like, ideally, to find even more scope to help more of you who have ambitions around potentially being mayor or deputy mayor, you know, accrue those skills so that you're effective early on. Hey, somebody. I think I've been told to shut up.
All right. I'd just like to make one comment. And I mean, this section is matters involving the mayor, deputy mayor, and councillors. And I'd have to just compliment Councillor Orr with the involvement that he's having in the community. I know he's got available time at the moment, and it's really good that he's actually getting himself out there and getting himself to these things. I just encourage other councillors with your activities to submit them so that everybody's on record for their activities and what they're doing, and like, full compliment to what Jason Orr's doing.
Yeah. Anyway, we are where we are today. All right, let's put that to a vote. Thank you very much. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. And I think we're unanimous. Petitions, there are nil. Notices of motions. 14.1, Councillor Barwick, would you like to read your motion? And I just want to say, it's the most extraordinary, because typically when you have a motion, you have a motion you want people to support. You've offered two options, so please help us in understanding which one you want support on, and then I'll call for a seconder for you. Councillor Bark, over to you.
Thank you. I'd like to move that that the Georgetown Council move to reinstate the Tama Valley Folk Festival as a line item in the 2024-25 budget and future, I thought I'd read the wrong one, budgets, including a CPI increase and in-kind use of council's public venues. And our second one is, or two, that the Georgetown Council move to transition the Tama Valley Folk Festival budget line item over a 5-year period, inclusive of CPI and in-kind use of council's public venues, from the 2024-2025 budget on.
So, Councillor Barwick, which one would you? Because
I
really
would like to second that, please. To
no, I won't accept. I won't accept a second. I'm going to ask you which one you would like to move. If you want to move them separately,
no.
But it's
instead of. I've already had a chat with the GM about this going this way, and I wanted to go this way, and that's why I put it this way.
All right, let's just take a recess, if I can. I just want to clarify this.
I've got it written down here. Wanting to move an amendment if the mover accepts, I'll second the motion. But I just wasn't sure if I was able to because of the meeting, the amendments. I read it that I couldn't, so I was
you
just going
to
get some.
The motion hasn't been accepted, and you don't have a seconder. So if you want to speak to the mover around amendment you move it, then you may.
Thank you.
Do you want to ask the mover about your proposed amendment?
Yes.
Before I call for a seconder?
Thank you.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for entertaining me. That the Georgetown Council, one, reinstate the Tama Valley Folk Festival as a designated item in the 24-25 budget, and two, approve this request for this item until this council establishes a transparent application process outlining the criteria for sustaining a budget line item, including necessary financial and other reports.
And you're asking me if I'm okay with that?
Are you okay with that?
I am.
Good. Let's just wait till we've got that on the board.
Sorry, Louise.
Thank you.
Email that?
Just be patient. We're just going to email that motion to Louise, and Councillor Harris is going to just remind everybody about their microphones. Simone, can you just push Tim's thing? Thank you. So, Councillor Lowe, can you look at the motion on the board and just concur that that is...
Sorry,
Councillor Harris has returned. 33. That is correct. So I will read to everybody. So you are voting on a motion from Councillor Barwick that the Georgetown Council, number one, move to reinstate the Tamar Valley Folk Festival as a designated item in the 2024-25 budget, and number two, approve the request for this item until the Council establishes a transparent application process outlining the criteria for sustaining a budget line item, including the necessary financial and other reports. Councillor Barwick, do you agree?
Yes.
Correct. In that case, I will call for a seconder for the motion as it stands. Councillor Lowe, are you the seconder? I think you...
That was my intention.
You are the seconder? Okay, so let me just make sure I've got my... Okay, Councillor Barwick, take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's been a long haul trying to organise something to put together on this. But I'd just like to put a little bit of record. Is Louise right?
Yes.
Okay. Make a little comment about the Tamar Valley Folk Festival and the cultural social event that's been held in Georgetown. It's the longest one in Georgetown's history. The Tamar Valley Folk Festival began as a one-day event in 1990. With the Georgetown Council giving the festival a grant of $1,000. From these humble beginnings, the Tamar Valley Folk Festival became a three-day cultural festival run by a small committee of volunteers. Eventually, the Tamar Valley Folk Festival became a line item on Georgetown Council's budget, which gave the committee of volunteers surety and security so they could organise the festival each year as they came along. In 2023, there was a motion moved by the Chair for the Tamar Valley Folk Festival to apply for grant funding for future folk festivals. There was money in the 2023-24 budget to the value of $9,300, which permitted the Tamar Valley Folk Festival Organising Committee to arrange for commitment for artists to celebrate the 34th anniversary of this cultural social festival. The committee managed to get the Bad Dads to perform on Regent Square for free, and at the cost of the Tamar Valley Folk Festival, but the three that wasn't free to the Valley paid for it, Tamar Valley Folk Festival paid for it, and it was a cost of $3,200. But very worth the way, the value of that money was very worth that value. Councillors, there were two motions I have before you, so that's what I was going to explain to my two motions before you. Today, I have put them forward for surety and so that the volunteer committee can get organised for their 35th annual cultural Tamar Valley Folk Festival. As a council, we say we are proud and inclusive. I'd like to let's be proud and show our town is promoted and how alive it comes in January every year because of the Tamar Valley Folk Festival. Between myself and my seconder, we talked on how we could involve both this to be able to put it through as... I'll let Simone talk on the other part of it, not me. Councillor Lowe, sorry, can talk on the other part. But I do realise, I heard it was asked at the workshop why it came back up, what decision had we made before. We know what decisions were made before. I think that this is something that really needs to know where it's going and what we as a council, are we proud or are we not? And that's, I'll leave it now up to my learned mover over there, seconder. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barwick. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, and thank you for accepting my amendment. So what I'm trying to achieve here is that the Folk Festival, obviously understanding that they're running their event annually and they need the year to organise their event, fundraise, etc. So I think that another year's grace, I think it's adamant because we don't understand, and that's because part two sort of comes around because I feel we've done this dance so many times. It's really unclear how an organisation, a person or an entity can become a budget line item. I think it's just unclear what the expectations are for people. It's once you get a budget line item, then we're saying we want to report on, be it a statistical report, being it a financial report. It's really unclear what's required. I've jumped on the council website myself to try and understand and apply for a budget line item, and there's no information. So I think that this council, before we go removing people from budget line items, and I'm talking all, so it doesn't matter if you get a $400 budget line item or if you get an $8,000 budget line item, when you apply for that line item, you know what you're applying for, you know the longevity of it, so whether this council determines it's a 3-year budget line item, it's a 10-year, it's a 5-year, that can be determined by the council. But also what reports and when we want them, and do we want something annually, and if they're really not meeting the requirements, then themselves, they're doing themselves an injustice and then they fall away that way. But then also, what does the process look like when somebody gets removed as a budget line item? Keeping them on there forever and a day just seems unusual. So I think that the tricky part for me is we are just doing this hickledy-pickledy, depending on who wants to raise the motion, who knows who likes the events, or I really think there needs to be clear, concise, transparent application that people apply for, and then they know what they're in for. We know what we're expecting of them, and until we do that, I don't think that anybody should be penalised, and therefore I support that we put them in this year's budget and then ongoingly until such a point that this council has the documentation to transition them into our new process.
Thank you, Councillor Lowe. I'll open this to the floor. Speakers for or against or questions. Councillor Harris.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Harris. Anybody else? Councillor Mason.
Yeah, no one's querying the quality of this folk festival. It's been running for 36 years, so it speaks for itself as far as the quality goes. What I'm querying is all that's happening here today is the funding model. How are we going to fund it? Now, it can become a budget item, but it's no guarantee it'll get passed. Is that correct?
Yes.
So, and the budget gets approved the last week in June, so we're still 2.5-3 months away. In that time, they could have a grant application filled out and probably approved. Sponsorship application. So I think we're running around in circles here, and this will go on every year. If we're that important to them for their funding, they should fill out the grant application and hand it in. And I'm pretty sure it'll get approved.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Orr.
I'm just... We've got a motion on the books already, and I'm still trying to weigh up why we need to change it. The second part of that motion, the question is, approve the request for this item until council. So we're going to approve the budget for this year and next year and the following years until we...
Is that how long it's going to take council to develop the process then? Yeah, that's...
We've got the process.
There's no
process. Come on, one meeting. All right, I'll speak to the motion. Were you speaking? Were you waiting? Sure. Sorry. Apologies. Apologies. There's nothing personal here. It's just a desire that we have one process for all the events that we follow, and that the limited budget that we have is contestable. So that there's an opportunity for those who would float alternative ideas know that there is funding based on the quality of their submission and the quality of the work and preparation that they put in. Nothing more, nothing less. Again, I'm looking at the motion, and I would argue that there's a very clearly defined process already in place. It's by a standard event sponsorship form. It's a process that is well known and understood. I understand it may have room for improvement, as many things do when in terms of processes, and particularly the public sector. But ultimately, it gets down to this thing. Do you want to have a very fair, transparent, equal process for everybody who applies? There is no prejudice being applied here on any level. I would just appeal to the Tamar Valley Folk Festival, please fill in the form. There are 9 people waiting here to process that application. Personally, I think that we should move away from the notion of having any long-standing, significantly funded budget line item events. I just think it's not in the interest of our long-term community. And that's my position, so I won't be supporting this motion. Anybody else?
Thank you. I just want to ask a clarifying question. So if somebody wants to apply for a budget line item, you're telling me that they've got to fill out the sponsorship form. Is that correct?
There is no, there is only a sponsorship application on an annualised basis. There is no budget line item application.
Exactly.
There is none. It's at the discretion if the councillors want to have something that is permanently baked into your budget as a line item.
So then just clarification on councillor... last name Harris, on his comment that they should have provided a report on a higher the report they provided wasn't to our standard, and I would like to know what that standard is, because it's not defined.
Again, I can't help you, but maybe it's an appropriate question to ask our Director of Communities and Finance, Cheryl Hyde. So with your indulgence, I'm trying to help you, I'm not trying to obstruct. So the first thing I'd say to you, Cheryl, is there a standard remittal process for our event sponsorships if you come through the process?
Yes, there is. Through the mayor, there is a standard process. It's on an online process, the same as the application. The sponsorship and the acquittal forms part of the whole process. Currently in the sponsorships we would provide 80% of the sponsorships up front, and an acquittal for would be required before we provide the final 20% of the sponsorship.
Okay. Then I'm going to get to a second part, and I'm firstly going to acknowledge that I haven't seen any remittal. I haven't, maybe I missed something. I'm going to take it at face value that something exists, but based on what you've seen, does it meet the standard of what we would normally process as a fee remittal? If this was coming through a normal sponsorship request?
The information that has been provided today by the Tamar Valley Folk Festival is a summary of the event and the outcomes of the event, together with their unaudited financial information, which I understand is being audited in April, and they'll provide that audited statement to us after that event, after that time.
And just to press the point home, can you answer the question, would it or would it not?
It's in a different format and probably doesn't answer all of the questions that we might ask for in that summary. That summary probably doesn't answer all of the questions that a normal acquittal would do through the online process.
Okay. I'm not sure if that was helpful on any level, but thank you for your answer. Thank you. Anybody else?
Can you entertain me one more?
Yeah, of course.
Longer? Thank you. So I hate to ride on this some more, but I'm clear of the understanding of the sponsorship. That I understand. I know there's a process. I can apply for a sponsorship application. It comes to council and I understand all of that. Can I apply for a budget line item?
No.
A personal councillor.
Can Joe Blow
apply? No, you cannot.
Why? How does that...
You can make a budget submission.
So how did the Folk Festival get on
order
as a budget line item?
It's a deep question.
Or other people?
It's a deep question, which is not simple. And we're going to do this in two parts between Cheryl and myself.
And I feel if we had an application and a process, it would be simple.
If I can respond to the question, please. So, as you know, there are basically only two response processes that are relevant to your questions. The first one is you either apply for a event sponsorship or you apply for a budget request through our standard budget process. There is no mechanism for anybody, internal or otherwise, to apply for a budget line item, which is to take a item that is budgeted and to bake it into the budget so that it repeats automatically every year. And that's the difference. It's an automatically repeating line item. Is that of any help? You can achieve the same thing by applying for a budget request. If we accepted budget requests for events, which we do not, we only accept funding for events through our event sponsorship process.
Just to clarify.
Councillor Dawson.
Just a clarification. Yes, there is a process to have a budget line item in perpetuity or for a fixed period, and that's by motion of council. And that's what Councillor Barwick is attempting and Councillor Lowe are attempting today.
I would agree with that statement by motion of council. Councillor Mason. Thank you. I come to you next, Councillor Archer. Sorry, thank you.
Question through the chair to Councillor Lowe, please.
I will allow it. Be respectful.
Now, your New Year's Eve function, you get funding from the council. Is that...
I'm going to say relevance.
Well, it's a sponsorship.
Yeah, but...
Is that a sponsorship?
Yes.
Well, you should be aware of how the sponsorship system works.
I do, and I said that I do. We put in a sponsorship application, I understand. I'm trying to clarify the budget line item. Can I apply for a budget line item as an organisation? And I found that the answer is no. It's only by motion of this council.
Why can't the Folk Festival do what you've done?
Yes, I feel like we're debating each other and we're drifting from the intent of this discord. I want you to please to focus on the motion in front of you exclusively and refrain from debating each other, please. Have your thoughts, speak to the motion, let's put this to a vote, it's simple as. Councillor Archer.
Thank you, Mayor. I've copped a bit of criticism when this has come up before and spoke reasonably strongly with my opinions and I think there was some offence taken. There was none intended, but I think others have sort of are still unsure and hashing out this debate over having a budget item without going through a process, having a sponsorship item going through an annual process, as what happens with Neighbourhood House and so on, and a recurring budget process. Now, I think maybe what Councillor Lowe's getting at here is, well, shouldn't we have a clear policy on what the criteria are so that we're not picking favourites? We're not, everybody knows what process to expect out of the process when they embark on it. I think that part is very good. That said, look, I encourage the Folk Festival Committee and to put in an application. I think it would be, you know, I would certainly at a start view that as a great step forward. You know, if they need help with their application, ask for help. But I think we've got to be careful of what expectations we set and don't set. And, yeah, I'm still... I haven't made a decision on this one, how to vote, but anyway, that's my two bobs.
Thank you. Anyone else? We've got a dead tire there. I'll start maybe with Greg, then Jason this time. Sorry, was it a dead tire? Go for it.
I'm in no clearer position for me to make a decision on this motion as I was in around May last year. We've received today an interim acquittal from Tame Valley Folk Festival. I've had a look through that, and I know it's not a comprehensive acquittal as they might like to present if they were to present themselves in their best light. So I think power to dry with pretty much this motion, and the process is shooting themselves or going to shoot someone in the foot because we've gone too early with it. We haven't got the information requested last year. It's not there for us to review as a body to say, oh yeah, they've done a good job, or oh no, they could do better, or how is council money being spent? Is it being spent well? Because we can't see that from what we've got in front of us. So I'm not prepared to make a decision in support of the motion, although I see there are merits of the motion that make good sense. I think there needs to be a process designed in future, probably the very near future, that's going to capture what we do as far as how we deal with ongoing line items. And I think that process needs to be developed around community events, because we look at things like $400 is a line item for the fire, so there's lollies for the kids, and then we look at something that might be $10,000, which is probably just as deserving for the New Year's Eve fireworks, and then we look at, say, a similar amount that is here for the Folk Festival. And if we're going to have continued events in our community that are well supported by council, and I don't think there's an appetite from council to not support the Tame Valley Folk Festival or the New Year's Eve or the lollies for the kids and all that sort of thing, we just need to have a clear process. I think whatever the result is today, there needs to be a motion come that will actually capture that. I've sent something in by email around that and how that might go if and what have happened with this resolution, but I can't support it in its current form.
Thank you. Councillor Orr.
So can an organisation apply for an event for the 2025-26 year at this stage?
Budget? Through the chair to the director of corporate.
Can this organisation actually put in an event application now for their festival in January next year?
So there is avenue for them to do that because we understand that the requests are based on needing to have pre-planning and that kind of thing, so they need to know what their budget will be and what their sponsorship will be. So it has in the past we have provided sponsorship for events that will come into the new financial year. So it is possible for them to apply at this point in time for sponsorship.
And what about the following financial year?
25-26.
Well, 25-26 is when they would be 24-25. Yeah, 25-26, yes. Yeah.
That would be a matter for council to decide whether they would sponsor that far forward, but generally it wouldn't be more than one financial year ahead.
But if I'm not... incorrect. There is a precedent where we have in the past with understanding, because I understand that with acts you really have a capacity to react urgently and early. So